Good morning, church family. Thank you for joining us today. Me and Alyssa just have a couple of things to share with you. So, Alyssa.
Yeah?
Are we living?
Yes.
And are we still hoping?
You betcha. All right, let's hop into these announcements. So the first announcement we have for you today is baptism and membership classes are postponed, unfortunately, because of social distancing. So we will let you know as soon as these baptism classes will start.
And also because of COVID-19, we've unfortunately had to cancel our family camp for this year, but we are really excited to do this next year with you guys.
Very excited. Also, small groups have been now joining via Zoom. So a number of small groups have been doing this for the past couple weeks, and it's been working great. So if you are not involved in a small group yet that has been joining on Zoom, we will be sending a PDF attachment with the small groups leader in information so that you can join on a small group as soon as possible. You would need to have a computer or a phone as well as an email address because it will be required to get onto Zoom.
And the last announcement we have for you today is in regards to offering. So if you're still able to tithe, that's awesome. And we have three ways which you can still do that. So the first one is to use your PayPal account through lhcf.ca. So if you go on there and use your PayPal, you can tithe that way. The second one is that you can send a check to the LHCF office. So we'll put the address on the screen for you that you can use to send your checks in. And the last one is you can come to the building with cash if you'd like to use that option. And all you'd need to do is just tell a LHCF staff member in advance that you are coming so someone is there to collect your money. So that's all the announcements we have for you today. And we hope you have a blessed rest of the week, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Good morning, Living Hope. And thank you, Alyssa and Kelsey, for sharing the announcements with us this morning. It's good to have new faces online. And speaking of new faces, we've had a few this past week. Frank had a little update where he shared a picture of Desiree and his boys. We've also had Donna Philpotts with a greeting. And we also got to see Monica and Megan as well sharing. And it's been so good and so encouraging to see that. So we're hoping to do more of that and having family updates and having some of you guys record from home. Right now you'll see I'm in front of my fireplace with some river rock in the background. So it's been quite an interesting journey. It still actually honestly feels novel to me, and still a little bit surreal, and it's been just over a month. I don't know, I've been faring pretty good. I'm a bit more of an introvert though, so I know for some of you extroverts out there it might be a little bit harder, so we are keeping you in our minds and in our prayers and thoughts. I just want to share with you a passage out of Romans 12:10 where it says this: be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. So I invite you now to pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this Sunday morning where we can get together and worship you, even if it is from our own homes. But thank you for the ability to remain connected, not only online, Lord, but through your Spirit as well. I want to thank you for our medical workers out there, Lord, the doctors and nurses who are courageous people that go in every day to help us in hospitals and hospices and nursing homes, to take care of loved ones, to put themselves at risk. Lord, we pray for your hand of protection to be upon them. Lord, please give them your strength for each day. I pray also for our government, Lord, that you would continue to lead them, giving them your wisdom, Lord. I pray that they would receive it and they would use that to navigate and lead us through this time. I also want to lift up those in our Living Hope community who may have experienced loss of income or even their jobs entirely. Lord, may your hand be upon them and may they know you as their provider. God, I want to thank you for the food bank and for the benevolent fund that we have, where we can serve one another through that, also those in our community who have great need. I thank you for those who have been delivering groceries to the doors of people already. And I pray that you would help us to continue to share your love in this way to those around us. Lord, help us to be a voice of encouragement, of peace, of hope, of rest, of love to those around us, our neighbors, our co-workers, to family and friends. Lord, may we share you in both word and deed. I pray now a blessing upon Pastor Frank as he shares from your word. May it breathe encouragement to us, to our minds, and to our hearts. And may we continue to be a church that shines your light. In Jesus' beautiful, powerful, precious name we pray. Amen.
Morning, Golagay brothers and sisters. Today I want to talk about leadership and what leadership in God's family is and how it's the same and a little different than leadership when what having a great boss in the world is like. And I say, think of a great leader you've had, a great boss, a great manager, someone who you really admired. When I think of it, think of them, I come up with the name Laverne Heinrichs as one of them. Now, Laverne was my boss in the gravel pit for many years through the 90s. And he was competent, hardworking, and he inspired trust in people. Laverne was amazing. When they were making the Coquihalla Highway and paving it to get ready for Expo 86, he oversaw the paving of the highway in the winter of 1985. As the snow was coming down, Laverne was paving that highway, and it was good, and it was amazing. And he was a gruff leader, and I knew that he liked me. He did talk in gravel pit working man's language, which means a fair number of four-letter words, and his greeting to me in the morning, which it meant he liked me, was, "Frankie, how the blank are you?" And he was a great leader. But what's the difference between a great leader and a great boss and a leader in the community of Jesus Christ? And the truth is, it's really the goals of that community, because the leaders chosen to lead a community reflect the values and aims and goals of that community. And we'll find that as we go through the qualities of a leader. We're going to go from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And this is Peter writing. The one whose very feet were washed by Jesus, he knew what true leadership looked like because he learned at the feet of the Master. And this is what he says when he gives his charge to others who lead in Jesus' community. He says, "And now word to your elders in the churches. I too am an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And I too will share in his glory when he is revealed to the whole world. As a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you'll get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. And when the great shepherd appears, you'll receive a crown of never-ending glory and honor. In the same way, you who are younger must accept the authority of the elders. And all of you, dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Brother Bless, Pastor Bless, would you please read for us in Karen?
ตะเปดรัวเซโรเยสวดเตดอตเลเยสิวดาดีพวาซาปวาอุลัสซึคลาตะพานิยะคิกิญาออลอเยดาอียิมิเซกออัตโกซาปวาดากาดอปวาอุยาซาเลครีอตานาตาโพอากยักโลดอปวานิคูตาลากะปอลเลอะกะลอพลาทอนิลอบูออบูออยูอาซอรพูอุลัสซึคลาดอกวาออลเลตัมเมซูตูอะคูตมีบามิเลซึซาโอทอดาตาอะคูตกิเลเซบาคาดอตัมเมสกาอะคูตมีบา Melasita utapua ta a hoot gay. Di poa pacasa ta lert and isa a poke hoot me ba. Medi poa get her suit pu a doate, a suit gay. The dupa quasua co uplatado, sugni bata like a po, a cotulilla, a colo, at a long new bat nilo. Dinia soap, while la sa seer, passisa le poissa poissi, a polar gay. Do sue se keller, palo sisa le si polar so cot go. Do good ho, so tota so lobaside gay. Agid e, you are droha, poa patotosa, do he lota tabuta puller, poissoloza law.
Amen. I hope you notice, my brothers and sisters, appropriate social distancing between Pastor Bless and I. I must admit, it's so strange. This man is my friend, and I want nothing more than to shake his hand or pat him on the back or just say, Yahoo, my brother. But we are constrained from doing that right now. But he's an example of a great leader. And I want to answer this question today. Who are God's leaders? Well, they're people who know God's love and love God, who have Jesus' character, and who shepherd God's family. Let's begin with this. Who are God's leaders? Peter uses terms that his readers would naturally understand, and these terms naturally describe what a leader does. Notice he doesn't use the word boss, dictator, king, but he uses a whole different set of terms. And now to you who are elders in the church, as a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Watch over it. Notice the three terms I've underlined in green there. Elders, well, that's pretty easy to understand. That's the term elder. But care for the flock is actually the verb form of the word shepherd. Care for the flock means shepherd the flock. Watch over it is actually the term, the Greek term, overseer. It's also the word episcopal. That's where the Episcopal Church gets its information, its name from overseers. Now, elders, that's a term that has gone through the Bible, Old Testament to New, and it simply means the recognized and affirmed leaders in God's community. Both by age, but age isn't necessarily a qualification. You can be old and a fool, old and unqualified for leadership. But an elder is someone who's got wisdom and experience and the natural recognition, the affirmation of the community of their leadership skills. Shepherds and overseers. These terms are often used together and describe the kind of care these people give. A shepherd, as many of you know, cares for vulnerable animals. Those in their charge need guidance, food, safety, healing when they're sick, and overall care and affection in order to take care of them. An overseer, literally, that word says they oversee, they watch, they pay attention to those in their charge. They pay attention with concern. I like this definition from the New International Dictionary of Theology. It says, overseeing means loving care and seeing with a heart that is moved to action. So simply, these two terms go together. An overseer and a shepherd are people who actually pay attention to the flock, to the community under their care, with a heart to help, to heal, to nourish, to strengthen, that moves to willing action for those under their care. Peter already in this book has used these terms to describe the great shepherd. In chapter 2, verse 25, Peter says this, "For you are like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Jesus is our great shepherd. He is the overseer. He is the one who watches us with a heart to action, to care for us. So God's leaders, call them elders, overseers, or under shepherds, very similar to a good boss. But here's the difference. So who are God's leaders? We call them elders, overseers, and shepherds, and they're people who know God's love and love God. And this is probably the primary difference between a boss and a leader in God's community. It's having a personal experience of the love of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what being born again means. It means that God, through His Son, Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, has touched and regenerated, made alive, born again, made born again, the heart, the person of the believer. Because leaders in God's community, we're not trying to create a whole bunch of big pile of gravel to sell. We're not creating a product to sell. We're not selling a religious organization. The primary goal of me as a pastor and your shepherds and overseers is not to just get you into a program. That's not what we're selling. We're not trying to organize a community like a PAC or a Rotary. All these are maybe some elements, but it's not the primary goal of a Christian community and of the leaders in those community. What we're doing is inviting people into a relationship with the living God, to a real experience of the living God. That's what Christianity is all about. That's what God has made us for, is connection to Him that gives life and freedom and flourishing. Invite them into a relationship with the God who made them, who made you and me, who loves us, who came to give us and everyone who will receive it abundant life. When God calls people, it's not just to being better religious people. It's not the Be Good Club, as Yoshua and I always talk about. It's He calls people by giving them an experience of them that's transforming. When He called Moses, it was through the burning bush. When He called Abraham, it was a voice to leave your home, your family, your people, and go to the nation I will show you. When He called Jacob, he had an experience of God. He wrestled with the angel of the Lord. All of them were changed by meeting Him. Peter met God face to face in the person of Jesus Christ, and God washed his feet. I've been listening lately to testimonies of men and women. Primarily, there's this great website with Jewish people who've come to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. He wasn't the Catholic or the Protestant's God. He was a Jewish man who came as a Jewish Messiah to save the world. And these doctors and lawyers and professors and highly educated people suddenly come face to face, and what they have is this transformative experience of meeting the Messiah that's real. And that's what we're selling. That's all I have truly to give. I'm a pastor because I met Jesus and He saved me. He rescued me. I called out to Him because in my foolishness and in the life I'd self-directed life I've had, I'd crashed my direction. I'd failed myself. I was hopeless, and I called out to God, and He forgave me and said, "Frankie, you're my friend, my son." And I'm a pastor, and my primary qualification isn't that I've studied or been to school or read my Bible all the time. The primary qualification, the one without which there's nothing else, is I've met God, and I know He's very fond of me. God likes me. And I simply want to invite you and others into that. He loves you. He loves you first before you do anything. He reaches out and His hands and His heart is for you. This is a starting place for Christian leadership, to know God's kindness, His grace, His affection and friendship, all these various words you can use for what it's like to be around someone who makes you alive, who gives you joy. Your Creator likes you. And it's truly all I have to offer you. Your best friend is the Lord God, the creator of heaven and earth, and the creator of you. So that's the basic qualification for Christian elder, old shepherd, overseers, that they have an experience of and know God. If you don't have that, it's like if I was the president of the Eric Clapton fan club, but I'd never heard any of his music, never had an experience of his music. What point is there in being the president? Or to be the leader of the Spider-Man fan club, and I'd never read the comics or watched any of the movies, and I had no experience of them. Or in a way, it's like leading on a long trip, but having no destination and no map. Because a Christian leader who doesn't have this life-giving relationship with God doesn't have a destination, because the goal of the Christian life isn't just to be a better person or to do good or show up at church. The goal is God. The map is Jesus. The direction is Jesus. The goal and destination of the Christian life is unity with God. Then you get everything else thrown in. You get creation and joy and friendship and people, but the goal and the destination is God. At the beginning and end of John's gospel, he writes this, he records this about Jesus. At the beginning of his gospel, Jesus says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So this is God. He loves you and he loves his world, and he wants to give them eternal life. And then at the end, he actually gives the definition of eternal life. "And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you've sent." This is Jesus' final prayer as he's about to be arrested. The NIV puts it this way: "And this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ you have sent." Eternal life isn't a thing. Eternal life is a living relationship with God who makes you smile, who fills your heart with joy, who gives you purpose, who meets you in the middle of the pandemic and says, "My son, my daughter, it's all good." A leader in God's family knows that a relationship with God is greater than anything. It's the goal of existence and it's the fulfillment of human existence. Paul says this: "But Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless." Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. "I've given up everything else and count it all garbage." And he talks about religious achievements and religious leading and status and money and professional recognition. "All I want is Christ, and to know that I belong to him. I could not make myself acceptable by God by obeying the law of Moses. God accepted me simply because of my faith, my trust, my giving myself into the hands of Jesus Christ." That's why I always show these pictures of the gracious kindness of God as expressed in the story of the prodigal son. You know the story. When Jesus wants us to know what his father is like, he says, it's like a father of a rebellious son or a rebellious daughter who rejects the family and says, "I want nothing to do with you," and runs away and brings great dishonor and shame to the family name. And yet the father, instead of disowning the son, disowning the daughter, saying, "I want to have nothing to do," instead of hating the son and looking to punish them, is simply waiting and looking at the road that his son left on, waiting for him to come back, that he may sweep him into his arms and embrace him. All the son or all the daughter needs to do is return. And then the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter, is swept into the arms of the father. When Jesus wants you and I to know what life is like, what God is like, what the father is like, he simply says he's waiting for you with arms wide open, with affection. When Paul writes the summary of the Christian life, it's to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge and transforms us. It's the question he asked Peter as he was restoring him to leadership. It wasn't, "What gifts do you bring and how much of the Bible have you memorized?" It was simply this: Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, Peter replied, you know I love you. Who are God's leaders? Well, they're elders, overseers, and shepherds who know God's love and love God. And they have Jesus' character. Love these pictures of the Lord God, creator of heaven and earth, bowing down at the feet of Peter to wash his feet. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine any of the princes or presidents or mullahs or great leaders of the world bowing down at the feet of their citizens and washing their feet? They have Jesus' character. Remember, Peter writes this, as a fellow elder, I appeal to you, care for the flock that God has entrusted to you. Care. Care. Care for the flock as Jesus cared for us. God's people are his most precious possession. He's got a universe, a world, an earth, a solar system, a universe at his possession. But you and I are the most precious thing he has. We're to follow Jesus' example and to watch over, leaders, elders, shepherds, watch over Jesus, God's people, with his affection. It means as a shepherd, as an elder and overseer, not COVID, as an elder overseer, you should actually like the sheep God's entrusted to you. Jesus liked his disciples and called them friends. Now, it's not required that a leader, that a shepherd or an overseer or an elder, they don't have to be a screaming extrovert. They don't have to have Frank's personality where he, I want to greet everybody at the same time. But it is required that you care for the people, which means, implies you have an affection for them, that good would happen to them, that they would be transformed by the power and love of Jesus Christ. And these leaders watch over God's people willingly. Watch over willingly, not grudgingly, not for what you'll get out of it, but because you're eager to serve God. Willingly. Remember, Jesus said, not my will, but yours be done. If you don't find a certain willing joy in caring for God's people, take a break. Don't inflict your leadership on people if you're doing it begrudgingly or, I have to do this again. Lead God's people because you are refreshed in him. It's a good reason why leaders should take Sabbaths every now and then to be restored. As Jesus went away and prayed alone, leaders in God's community are required to take Sabbaths of refreshment so that when they come, they can do it willingly and not grudgingly. Not for what you will get out of it. Jesus gave up everything to serve us. Royal possessions, being in the form of God, he did not consider it something to be grasped, but he gave up everything and took on the form of a servant. So we don't do it for reward or status or money, but because we're filled with God's love and want to pass it on. It's a real temptation to do Christian leadership for the sake of status or money. You can see people who do it for money. Send your money to me so God will bless you, is what they say. And then they brag about their airplanes and the things that they have and the reverence in which they're held. And it's not for what we get out of it. The reward for serving God is the pleasure of God the Father himself, of working alongside him. It's the same reward that Jesus had. God the Father is deeply involved with you and pays attention to your life as you care for his people. It's his love flowing through you. It's the delight a child has in working alongside their father or their mother. When I learned how to fix cars at the side of my father, there's a delight in learning and seeking his approval as I learn at his feet. You know, when kids are little and they just want nothing but mom or dad to watch them when they do something, Hey, dad. Hey, mom. Look at this. It's the same thing that's happening. God is paying attention to you. And the reward is his pleasure and his working with you as he works through you to provide his care for people. And as they're transformed, you participate in his joy as his people grow and God's works through you. It's the greatest joy of all. Don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. Again, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. We are not the bosses of those or those who seek power. We are those who are examples to the flock. And may I say this, this doesn't mean to be a leader, you need to be perfect. There's a certain level of order that should be in your life. But one of the primary ways that leaders lead God's flock is in the humility of repentance. In the non-defensiveness of owning up to their own mistakes, we lead people to understand how gracious and forgiving God is by leaders themselves being humble and asking forgiveness for themselves. Who are God's leaders? We're coming, we're wrapping up here on the last point, my brothers and sisters. They're elders, shepherds, and overseers who know God's love, and they love God. They have Jesus' character, and finally this, they shepherd God's family. And what I want to emphasize in this case is they protect God's family from wolves, from sheep, from wolves in sheep's clothing. And I want to focus a little bit on the protective teaching, shepherding from error part of leadership. Because Jesus warned us there are wolves, spiritual dangers to the lives of God's children and actually to all people who are inspired by the devil. And it's interesting. We don't live in a world now where we're really terrified of wild beasts. They're not, they don't surround us. I don't walk around here afraid of a lion or a tiger or a bear. But if you've ever run into a wild animal face to face, you'll know it's terrifying. I lived in Whistler when it was small, and I used to have to walk back and forth to work through the forest, through a narrow pathway in the forest. And I've run into a mom and her cubs. And you know, black bears actually do kill people. And running into a wild animal is a terrifying experience. And they present a real danger to people's lives. That's why Peter and Jesus used the terminology of wild animals. But those who seek to teach in error are like wolves who come in to kill the sheep. Or like a ravenous lion. And that's what the devil is like. He wants to swallow and consume people and kill them and take them away from God. And leaders and shepherds are those who protect the flock from the spiritual dangers out there that the devil has that want to kill them. This is the charge that Jesus gave to Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Peter replied, you know I love you. And then Jesus says this, then feed my lambs. That's the protective function of a shepherd, feeding, caring for. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And Jesus needed to do this. He really needed to say three times, restore him for the three times Peter had denied him. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And isn't that the testimony of all us? Jesus knows our heart. Then Jesus said this, feed my sheep. So feed and take care and feed my lambs. There's this charge that Jesus gave Peter to protect the sheep, to feed them solid, nourishing food that would deliver them from evil. Not candy, not poison. Because there are teachings out there that destroy people. There are teachings that act as wild beasts, as the teeth of wild beasts, of wolves and lions that consume people, that destroy people. There's bad spiritual food that will lead to diabetes of the soul or cancer of the spirit. For example, God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be rich. That's cancerous teaching. That's cancerous. It's a focus on the self, and it's a focus on something that's way too small. Why settle for the creation and things rather than the creator and life? Paul recognized this after he'd met Jesus Christ and discovered his religion and all the good things he was doing was simply garbage compared to the love of God. He says this: anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt and they have turned their backs on the truth. And listen to what they teach. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. True godliness, and godliness is allowing the character of God, allowing the Spirit of God to expand your soul into the freedom that Jesus Christ has come to offer us. God doesn't want the small things for you. He doesn't want you to be merely rich. It's too small. He wants you to be magnificent like Jesus Christ and in a community of magnificent people, full of life, enjoying all that God has made, living for eternity with him. There's lots of other poisonous, sickening teachings that the shepherd protects people from. For example, sexual intimacy has no consequences. No, sexual intimacy has great consequences, good or bad, depending on how it's used. Because sexual intimacy is a great gift from God. As a matter of fact, it's a manifestation of how God loves us, of a joining of people together. And with great power that comes with it, it flourishes when used according to the manufacturer's directions. That's a poisonous teaching that sexual intimacy has no consequence. It has great consequences. Or God's always angry with you and you need to be perfect to please him. That's a poisonous teaching. God loves you and sent his son to take his sins from you so that you could grow in his image. But his love and his friendship is offered first. We don't earn it. Another poisonous teaching, there is no God. There's no creator. There's no judge for human behavior. Life is meaningless. And then you die and it's worm time. That's poisonous. That's soul destroying to people. There's no purpose in life. An elder or a shepherd, an overseer, knows the truth and is armored with the truth of God and is able to disarm and protect the flock from the wolves and lions that want to consume and destroy them. Who are God's leaders? Well, call them elders, overseers, shepherds, people who watch with an eye of affection for the benefit of those they care for because they have received and know God's love and love him in return. And that loving God in return is actually loving his people. And they have the character of Jesus because by his Spirit he grows within them and they shepherd God's family with truth, protecting God's family from those things that would destroy them. Brothers and sisters, love you and miss you. Hope to see you soon. In all things, may the love of God fill you to overflowing. Its width, its length, its height, and its depth. Amen. See you soon.
Well, friends, thanks for joining us this morning. And as usual, it's always a delight and a joy knowing that you and along with your family putting the time on during our Sunday live streams, you know, continue to encourage one another and pray for one another. And I just would like to say on behalf of the Living Hope staff and the congregation, I miss your smiles. I miss seeing you and I miss your laughter. I miss shaking hands with you. I miss our greetings on Sunday mornings that we do. And it brings me memories in the past. You know, at a time like this, especially after Pastor Frank preaches, He would always invite us out to Wendy's, right? Remember the invitation for Wendy's after lunch? I miss the laughter that comes as a response to that. And, you know, it tells us that we should embrace our times together, the memories that we have cherished. And I just hope that we get that opportunity again in the future, Lord willing. And, you know, so let's continue to pray for one another, encourage one another during this time. And so with that, I'd like to leave with you a prayer that Paul prays for the Ephesians and also for the churches. And that resonates with Living Hope, especially for today. And so let us pray together from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, Living Hope, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, and how high, and how deep is love, the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church of and especially for Living Hope and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Blessings, friends, and see you again next week.